Good evening, Rabbosai. We're learning tonight Simen Lamed Beis. We shall be doing Lamed Vav, which is a long sieve, and afterwards we'll continue from there onwards. I must point out that Hilchas Tefillin, the Simen Lamed Beis, the very, very long Simen that we are currently learning, is actually divided in a few sections. And Seif Lamed Vav, which is the Seif we're going to be learning tonight, is actually the very last of the Seifim, which is discussing the actual parshas of the Tefillin and of the Mezuzahs as well, to some extent, and of the Torah as well. It's the last Seif discussing that. From Seif Lamed Zayin, just to get our orientation straight, from Seif Lamed Zayin onwards, it's actually discussing a new topic altogether within the topic of Tefillin, which is actually the Batim, the topic of the Batim, of how to create and how to divide and what are the Batim made out of. This whole topic, which is a topic within Simen Lamed Beis, is a new area altogether, and that's from Seif Lamed Zayin onwards. Seif Lamed Vav is a very complex Seif, and we are going to learn it not in the regular depth that we normally learn. I want to go a little bit quicker, as I shall be able, literally, I just want to go through it in mamash, literally a minute or two, and after start with Seif Lamed Zayin, which is a new topic within the creation, regarding the creation of the Batim, and the Tzuos as well are discussed there. Maybe just one point before we actually, and again, we're going to learn Seif Lamed Vav. I want to go quite quickly. It's a very complex and very long, and I won't be able to give it its Lamed Hei. Oh, yes, that's right. And Lamed Dalet as well, you're right. I think Lamed Dalet we didn't do either, you're right? Yeah. So we're going to do Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hei, and continue for Lamed Vav. Thank you very much for pointing it out. Okay, so let's do Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hei first. Okay. The last we learned in Seif Lamed Gimel was actually about the halacha that it has to be justified. Is that what we said? That the parshas have to be justified. They have to be within the margin, not in and not out. Lechatchile, that's the way it should be. But the Eved, we learned, the end of Seif Lamed Gimel taught us that if you've got three letters out, that's Bedi'eved, that's okay. If you've got three letters out of the margin, up to three letters, Bedi'eved, that's fine. It's not going to look particularly beautiful, and it's lacking in Hiddur, but if you've got three letters out in the Pasha, Bedi'eved, that's fine. Seif Lamed Dalet then continues and tells us, Shtei Oisyesh, Shem Tevo Achas. What happens if you've got two letters going out, but those two letters actually form a word, such as Al or El, or, I mean, there's countless words which are made out of two letters. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's true that, generally speaking, if you've got three letters going out of the margin, up to three letters, it's in order and it's okay. It's not like a chile, but yeah, but it's okay. However, this is only true if it's not a word. If you've got two letters going out of the line, which they themselves are a word on its own, if they're going out of the margin, that is a problem. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Lamed Dalet, Shtei Oisyesh Shem Tevo Achas. If you've got two letters, which Shem Tevo Achas, which are one letter, Lo Yichtoiv Chutz Leshito, that you may certainly not go out of the margin, don't go out of line, if it's a word on its own. Continues Shulchan Aruch, and he says, Oisyes Hashem, similarly also, if it's part of Hashem's word, Hashem's name, Oisyes Hashem, if you've got Hashem's name going very much out of the margin, Tzorich Shiu Kulam Besoy Chadav, that ensure that Hashem's name should always be entirely within the margin, Velo Yeitze Mehem, and he should not go out of it at all, Klal, entirely, at all, Chutz Ladav out of the margin. So we're learning that, yes, again, just to recap that, three letters, whatever happens, is not allowed to go out of the margin. You have to make sure it's mamash within the line, nicely parallel, nicely justified. If it's three letters, it's a problem, whatever it is. Less than three letters, then it depends. If it's a word on its own, that's a problem. If it's part of Hashem's name, that's a problem too. But if it's not part of Hashem's name, and it's not a word that means something on its own, and it's less than three letters, that, but yeah, it's okay if it's out of the margin. By the way, how does a sofer deal with it if he's reaching the end of the margin and he's not going to be able to fit it in another word? What is he going to do? You can stretch them. That is lechatchila. There is no lack in Hiddur whatsoever to stretch the letters. If they are done the right way, to stretch the letters, if they are done appropriately, it's not a lack in Hiddur by all shittas. To extend them in the parts of the letters which are to be extended, that's not a lack in Hiddur. So that's what the shofar is going to do when he reaches the margin and he wants to make it nicely line. So. To extend it.
No, just the gaps, not actually make the letters. You're talking about stretching, making the letters a little bit wider.
Right.
But just leave the gaps.
You could. So it could, but you could. It wouldn't pass the bit yet, but what you really want to do is to make it mamash nicely. That you could do that. Yeah. By the way, you could. But when it comes to. You're going to have a problem. I mean, if you see that you've done it, if let's say you have gone out of line. And would you be able then to add, I don't know how, if imagine you'd have such a case, would you be able to add letters on top? Would you be able to do that? Say for, you could erase them at the beginning of the line or whatever. Pardon? Stretch letters. Stretching letters is shouldn't be a shaila. Right. Right. So as long as that, what is, you're not doing any shailas, it shouldn't be, it's not going to be a problem of shalaika sidon. But the only problem would be that if you're adding additional letters or something, adding additional words or even letters to some extent, then you'd end up being a problem of Shalaika Sidon. Yeah.
Would it be better, more of it, to stretch a letter or to make the letter on the line a little bit bigger? If you have,
how would you make them bigger without stretching them? No, leaving a bit more space?
Yeah, writing them a little bit wider themselves. So you have your normal.
I'm not sure. I imagine that stretching letters is more of a hiddur because you want to have all the letters the same size.
That's
right. Okay. Now, Sif Lamed Vav, again, we're not going to go into great detail, but two short introductions I do want to cover. One is the concept of psuchas and stumos, which is something which you are familiar with any chumash, in fact, if you open up, you see that there's a fei and there's a samach, which represents psucha and stumos. So the halacha is as follows. There's a halacha l'moshe misinai, and this is really a halacha l'moshe misinai, that many, many parts, there's many, I think you could call it a paragraph to some extent, paragraphs within the Torah. Those are halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, some of them are considered psuchos and some of them are stumos. How are we going to define psuchos and stumos? I'm going to discuss that in a minute, in Mitzvah Hashem. But the fact that some places are considered psuchos and stumos, to what extent they're considered new paragraphs, as it were, that is really halacha l'moshe misinai. We're going to see shortly that a psucho, that you're going to make a stuma, if it's meant to be a proper new paragraph, and you don't separate it properly, or vice versa, that could be a psul. That could be absurd because you need to leave a certain amount of, which is a machlokas in its own, machlokas a shining, but you need to leave, whether it's a psucha stuma, it needs to have a certain distance to because that's the halacha l'moshe misinai, you need to leave a certain distance for psucha. So therefore, if a person fails to do so, if the parsha is not done according, that could actually pasli b'di'evet. We're going to see that shortly. But just the point that we're discussing now is that it's psuchas and stumas. Now, there's a machlokes in shoinim, and that is something which we need to know. Is there's a machlokes in shoinim, what exactly, how do you make a psucha and how do you make a stuma? How do you actually do that? How do you do that? So we know that there is places which are meant to be psuchas and there's places which are meant to be stumas. But how do you actually, there's places that are meant to be psuchas. How do you actually do that? How do you do it? How does a sofer make a psucha into a psucha? So the halacha is in machlokes Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says very straightforward, the Rambam's malach is very straightforward. The Rambam learns that a psucha is always, has to be a beginning of a line. A psucha is always, a parsha psucha is always, has to start at the beginning of the line. So imagine if God has said for Torah, you have to always start a psucha at the beginning of a line. A stuma is midline. Midline is going to be a stuma, and a psucha is going to be a beginning of the line. That's malach of the Rambam, very straightforward. The Rosh is choylik, when you see that, it's going to be nogea to our Shulchan Aruch, which we're briefly going to go through. But the Rosh is choylik, and the Rosh says that a psucha is not defined from where it starts, but the Rosh says that a psucha is defined, a parsha psucha is defined, by having a distance of 9 letters 9 letters between that and the previous parasha. To have 9 letters, that's what makes a psucha. So it has nothing to do with being in the beginning of a line or at the end of a line. It's just distance of the 9 letters. How are you going to define a psucha? Stuma is anything which is less than that is going to be called a stuma. That is Machloek, Zambam, and Rosh. Okay, let us see the Shulchan Aruch briefly before we, just as a final seif of this area of Hilchos Tefillin, before we're going to start with regards to the Batim. Seif Lamed Vav. Yase kol pasha yisei apsuchos. Now, the pashas, of course, if he's not referring to Sedra, it's talking about a pasha in the sense of Tefillin. It's not considered, it's certainly not talking about a Sedra. So, yase kol pasha yisei apsuchos. All the pashas within the Tefillin have to be made psuchos. And again, depending on the machloikas Rosh and Rambam, what a psuch is, chutz me pasha achoino aksuva b'toira, excluding the last one, which is written in the Torah with regards to the tefillin, which is shehi vayim shemaya. That's the last one. All the pashas which are written in the tefillin is vayim shemaya. She aseno stuma. That one you must make stuma. Ve'im shina. If you made this vice versa, if you made the psucha stuma or stuma psucha, then you have puzzled your tefillin. Im shina, if you have done it vice versa, puzzled the tefillin and become puzzled. V'yesh machshirin bekulam psuchos. The Ramah says, but the evidence kosher, if all the parshas are done psuchos, if you've opened them up all the parshas, but the evidence, that's fine. And the truth is, many, some soifrim do that, as Ashkenazic tefillin are often like that. Uvemedina is elu, and in our countries the minhag is noaginav pashvim shemaya berosh hashita keshar pashas. He says that our minhag is based on our minhag is to often have the pasha of voyim shemaya at the beginning of a line. Lochein therefore noagu the minhag is she pashas kadesh the pasha of kadesh v'yik yaviyacha the pasha shema maschilin berosh hashita. We start at the beginning of line to make it a psucha according to the Rambam. And at the end, Kadeshli, Uvesoif, Ayaki Aviacha, Menichin Cholok, at the end of those pages, we leave an area, Kedelichtoiv, Tes Oisias, in order to allow a space of 10 Oisias to ensure to make that Psucho according to the opinion of the Rosh. Uvesoif, Shema, and Menichin Cholok, at the end of Shema, we don't leave it open at all. Ve Menichin, Upachas, Kedelichtoiv, Tes Oisias, if you do leave it, we don't want that one to be a Psucho. So if you do leave a bit of gap in between, Don't leave 9 letters space in order that it shouldn't be a psucha, rather it should be a stuma. The parasha of Yom Shemaya has to be started at the beginning of a line, middle of a line, Omaniach Lefaneach Cholok, you leave a little bit open before that, the licht of Teis Oisios, in enough sufficient space to write 9 Oisios. Venimtsa, and it turns out to be Shloisha Pashas and Psuchois, that This parsha is psucha is pein l'Rambam, whether it's according to the Rambam, pein l'Rosh, whether it's according to the Rosh. Upasha achoyno, the final parsha, his stuma according l'das Rambam, according to the opinion of the Rambam. So this is all based on this machloikas of psucha according to the Rambam and according to the Rosh. Fine, let us continue with Sif Lamed Zayin, which is a new opening, and it's really discussing the batim. What are the batim made out of, and how do you actually make those batim? What are the batim made out of? Says the Shulchan Aruch as follows: Oir habatim, Sif Lamed Zayin. The skin of the batim. It's made out of skin. The leather, the parsha made out of the batim are made out of leather. Oir habatim, the hide of the batim. Tzorich liyos me'oir behema chaya ve'oiv tohirim. They need to be made out of animals which are kosher. So the batim must be made out of animals, types of animals which are kosher. Afilu menevela oitreif shalahem, even if it's not shechted, even if it's killed in a non-kosher way, it's a nevelu atreifa, but the species of the animal, the type of animal must be a kosher animal which is kosher for consumption. Vreshai, and it is also okay, it's permitted. Last sois, you're allowed to make it meklaf, made out of parchment, or me'oir, or from hide, shlil of a shlil. A shlil is a fetus, an unborn animal that you can also make it out of, and that can happen, you shechted a kosher animal. And as the animal was shechted, there was a fetus was found within the shechted animal. So there, that you want to use the skin for for the tefillin, you can do that. You can do that. So the oil is from the feet is the from oil shlil. It's you're allowed to make tefillin out of that, batim out of that. V'chein haratzuas, similarly the ratzuas. That's a very controversial issue. Nowadays, we'll be discussing that when we get to another seif. V'chein haratzuas yochal ha'asoyson. The ratzuas also you can make out of klaf. You can make out of klaf for oil shlil. You can also make out of fetus. It can be done. Can be done as well. Let us see what the Mishneh Berurah says of here in Seif Katan Kuf Samech Hei. Oira Batim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'hu Adin, Oira Titur V'ma'avarta, Kevin Shemechuba V'tofu B'abatim. Now, the tefillin is made out of three parts. The batim is made out of a few parts, and the ma'avarta is the area which the ratzuas go through. Is there any tefillin here? Not tefillin here. Do we have tefillin here? I think we can. No, we should leave it. The part of the tefillin. Think about the tefillin sheliad, where the for instance, and you think about where the ratzuas go through. Yeah, that part that's called the ma'avarta, loshen over passing. That because that's the ratzuas pass, and the titura is the bottom part of the tefillin. So the Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah says that the oir, the part of the batim, all the parts of the batim need to be made out of a kosher animal. That's what the Mishneh Berurah says in Kuf Samechei. Ha oir atitur v'ma'avata. All the parts of the tefillin have to be made out of a kosher animal. Kiven shemechuba v'tofu b'batim, since ultimately it's connected on the batim. Yeah. Well, good point. That's an excellent point. And for that, we'll need to see Sif Lamed Ches. Good, it's an excellent point. Really excellent. Very, very good. Sif Cotton Kuf Samach Vav Tohoyrim. Why is it that the batim need to be made out of a kosher animal? Why is that? That a batim need to be made out of a kosher animal? Says the Mishneh Berurah, Kuf Samach Vav Tohoyrim, the Ksiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Leman, in order, that the Torah is Hashem should be in your mouth. Mina muta beficha, the Gemara dashens, from the muta, from the permitted beficha in your mouth. And it has to be made out of something which is permissible, out of a type of something, out of material which you could really eat. Now, but surely, I understand why the tefillin are considered Torah Hashem. The tefillin themselves, the parashas, I can understand, that's called Torah Hashem. But why is the batim, why are the batim considered Torah Hashem? Rabbi Isai. What's the Shem Hashem? Very good. That's a very interesting chiddush. That's what the Mishneh Berurah said. But it was a chiddush to me. That it's considered the Torah Hashem, as you're saying, says the Mishneh Berurah, V'kiven the ois shin. Since you've got the letter Shin, Shumerameis al Shem Shakai, which is the part of the name of Hashem, Nikmat Boira Tfilin, since that part of the Tfilin box from the Batim include the name, the letter Shin, which is Merameis, to the name of Hashem, that's why it's considered Torah Hashem. Nikmat Boira Tfilin, Shubichlal Torah Hashem, that's why it's called Torah Hashem, because you've got the Shin of the name of Hashem. Ve'in chiluk, and there's no difference bein ashel rosh, whether it's the tefillin shel rosh or shel yad or tefillin shel yad. Either way, they have to be made out of kosher animal. Now, based on what you're saying, there's a bit of a kasha here. Ratzuas, or even before the ratzuas. That's right. What's that?
The ink
yes, right. So, but the ink so. Right. So it's interesting. I think that the Mishneh Berurah said there that it's because it's only, I don't know if it's the Mishneh Berurah Achronim explained that I can't explain it very well because I don't fully understand it, but it's only a machshir. It's only to enable us. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. Yeah. But what about the Rabbi Yisai? What about the tefillin shel yad?
No shin on it.
No shin on it. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, the ratzuas, but not the batim. Why does the batim need to be made out of a kosher animal? If the whole reason why the tefillin is because of the shin, because of the name of Hashem, then surely the tefillin shel yad, which doesn't have the name of Hashem on it, you could argue. But Mishneh Berurah says, And it's interesting because there's no shin there.
It's only a remez, so it's like...
So the remez would apply on both. That's, I think the Achronim say something to what do you say? But it's not there.
I was thinking it's not there.
Right. Okay. It's not that. Lemaisa, they say something a bit similar. I said, Lemaisa, since one tefillin, since the tefillin shel Rosh requires it to be a oir behema kshero, then it wouldn't make sense to say that the tefillin shel Yad. What does he say? Interesting. Right. Aloch Lemaisa, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Right. And just to finish off, Simkuf Samech Zayin, Miklav Shlil. The Mishnah Berurah says Klav Shlil that you can also use a fetus after Shchitis. Old Mishnah Berurah says Miklav Afol Pi Shudak. Although it's very thin, Shape Mikir Oir. Nevertheless, it's considered Oir. It's considered hard. It's considered Oir. Shlil says the Mishnah Berurah Kuf Samechas. The Gam Oiro Nikra Oir. It's also considered oil. It's also considered hide. Afal gav do nikra basalin in tumah. Although in other areas of halacha we find that the shlil is in its entirety considered basal. It's considered flesh, and we don't normally look at the skin being considered oil with regards to ilchas tumah. But here it's different. Mikol makim lo yigara me'oir oif. It's not different than oif that also considered oif. So that's the chiddush over here with regards to a shlil. The chiddush of a shlil is that it's still considered oil over here. Although it's a newborn, it's a fetus, we still consider it oir as opposed to other areas of halacha. Right, okay. Good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai.